The following podcast is brought to you by simplyscuba.com, the number one online retailer for all your scuba gear. So the podcast you're about to hear was taken from our live YouTube video, which was broadcasted on the 14th of January 2015. Our in-house scuba specialist Mark talks about latest news and updates, and we also gave people the opportunity to ask him questions live. Some of the content has been edited to make it more podcast friendly, but we hope you enjoy it and find the information useful.
Hi guys, so welcome to Simply Scuba Live. This is the first online live broadcast that we've ever done. This is supposed to be a good sort of interactive session where you can ask me questions and I'll answer them live on air with products that we have in our warehouse. Today I'm at the Simply Scuba shop down in Faversham in Kent, and we're always open 7 days a week for you to come visit us. So to start off with the news, the Natural History Museum have started their wildlife photo competition. So if you've got any of your some nice pictures that you've taken underwater, you need to log on to and enter the competition down here, where you can start entering your competitions. You can win some serious money on this. Even if you're picked, you can get prizes up to like $1,000. And then if you win the very top prizes, it's like $10,000 prize. So it's a really big sort of big competition. On from that, Nicholas from Friends of Sharks on New Year's Day, I believe, did a freezing swim for sharks. He swam off the southwest coast of the UK in one of the harbours, and he was just wearing a rash vest and swimming shorts. So the water temperature was like 9 or 10 degrees. I'm in my dry suit at that kind of temperatures. But he did it just in a rash vest and swimming shorts. So he managed to raise £1,300 for shark conservation charities, and he managed to last 13 minutes swimming in the harbour. So yeah, hats off to him, that's pretty cold water. Another piece of news is a father and son team in Australia. They've managed to design and develop a new interesting product called Shark Bands. Again, the link should be in the description below. This is for when I used to teach scuba diving. One of the big questions that I always used to get is, oh, what about sharks in the water in scuba diving? So if anyone's ever sort of worried about sharks in the water, check them out on Shark Bands, and it's a very, very effective technology. All it is it's just a small sort of watch size wristbands. You can put it on your wrist or on your ankles. So it's good for surfers or scuba divers or anyone that's swimming around where sharks are about. And it just uses high-powered magnets just to deter the sharks. The sharks don't like being near those magnets, so they just swim away from you. So that's a very nice, very non-invasive piece of technology just to keep you and your children safe in around waters where there can be sharks. Local news, the London Dive Show is on the 14th and 15th of February next month. So if you haven't booked your tickets, book them now. Simply Scuba, we're not going to be there. We don't have a stand there, but we will be there in person, just kind of walking around, checking out all the dive, all the different stands, just seeing what's new in the industry. We always like to be on the cutting edge of sort of what's out there. Other news from Intiver, the SP1 camera, their nifty little action sports camera. They're updating that. It's no longer going to be the SP1, it's going to be the Nova HD camera. They've just upgraded a few bits and bobs, they've tweaked it, made it a little bit better, and it can deal with more high definition content. So they just upgraded it about. And that will be in stores hopefully this week. It's coming very, very soon. Another thing that's turned up is the fabled Eon Steel computer. This is finally in store. You can buy it from us. You can buy the wireless air transmitters. It's gone through all of the checks that they wanted to. It's passed with flying colours. They figure that it's future-proof. It's a wonderful dive computer. I'm liking it. This one's been on my desk for a few weeks now. I can't fault it. Nice, tough little computer. Love it to bits. So first, let's move on to some questions. Catherine on Twitter, hashtag SimplyScubaLive, asked what size fins would be best for the Typhoon Seamist dry suit, size 6 boots, and for inline dive sites? Okay, so this, it's a matter of dry suit boots. They tend to be a little bit bigger than your standard neoprene, just scuba diving boots that you wear with a wetsuit. So yeah, sizing can be an issue. I usually find that you have to go up a size. I actually have a Sea Mist here with size 6 boots, just that I can show you. I also have a couple fins that I'm gonna try on just to make sure that you're getting the right size. So this is an Oceanic Viper fin. This is size regular, and that fits on to the boot quite nice and tidy. So if you're looking at Oceanic fins, you're looking at a regular. If you're looking at other brands, Tusa, a size medium, I find fits on to the size 6. It's very much just a matter of, you want to try it on, make sure it fits, and make sure there's not too much wobble. If it starts wobbling around, that's going to be really, really annoying whilst you're diving. I like fins to be sort of nice and snug, but not too snug, because then they'll start cutting off circulation. Okay, so Worldwide Adventure Divers has tweeted, Hiya Simply Scuba, I need gloves and socks for my dry suit to be ready for Iceland. Any suggestions to keep me warm and toasty? So gloves and socks, I presume you mean under suit socks. Fourth Element have just brought out their Hotfoot Pro socks, which are an upgrade from the Fourth Element Arctics. Nice and roasty toasty. I was wearing Fourth Element Arctic Circs when I was diving up in Norway in the Arctic Circle. Just a good pair of Fourth Element Arctic socks. They're nice, they keep you very warm. They've got a dual layer. They've updated them to the Hotfoot Pro socks. What they've done is the bottom layer, they've actually stitched in the internal lining so it can't shift backwards and forwards. So you've always got a nice even layer of insulation on your feet. As far as gloves, you can buy dry gloves. You can buy dry glove systems. Kubi, K-U-B-I, they have a very nice dry glove system that you can use with any sort of latex or silicone seal. You can fit them onto anything. Depending on your dry suit, you can have integrated dry glove systems like the Antares ring system. They're just nice and easy. They just push on and twist off. Or what I was using, I was also using waterproof 7mm mitts. Now they're, I found they were very effective up in the Arctic because they have a very, very tight skirt around your wrist. And I found for the first sort of 5-10 minutes of my dive, I was actually dry as a bone. And then even when the water started to seep in, 7mm of neoprene is going to keep you nice, nice and warm. That was in February. I was up there diving with some friends. So yeah, 7mm mitts. That should be about all you need, depending on what you're doing. I was just fun diving. If you're really going down for a bit longer, start to using your dry gloves, because then you'll keep your dexterity. Sean Johnson has asked, hey Mark, I've just started diving and I'm looking at buying a dive computer. Can you make any suggestions? Of course, there are so many dive computers out on the market. Something like a Sunto Zoop is a perfect beginner computer because it will start with you at the beginning, it does air, and then when you start to progress through your scuba diving career, you can start using Nitrox, and all the features just keep going with you. You can upgrade something like a Viper or an Oceanic VO. They have a nice range of dive computers, the Oceanic. One nice feature that I like is that with the Oceanic VO series, what you can do is you can actually change which diving algorithms you actually dive with. So if I'm diving with a Sunto and you're diving with an Oceanic, they're going to be sort of registering how much deco you have at different rates based on the different algorithms. So what you can do is actually change the algorithm on your Oceanic to make it more similar to mine, so that we're diving the same profile and we're not having any penalties. But other than that, there are loads out there. The big brands, I look at Sunto, Oceanic, Mares, Scuba Pro have some nice dive computers. The Aladdin Square, that's a nice big screen. A lot of people, they tend to go for smaller watch styles. Watch styles are quite good for just wearing out and about, because you can wear them all day, you can wear them to the office, and then you can just keep it on your wrist. The larger ones I tend to prefer because they have just much bigger displays. They have more room to actually write down what you're looking for. Have a chat with your instructor, have a chat with us. We'll be able to find out which is the best dive computer for what kind of diving that you want to be doing. Linda Lavelle has asked, I've been using split fins for 15 years. They're heavy for traveling, so I like to move something a bit lighter, but still give me the performance I like from the splits. Any suggestions? A great little travel fin that I know of is the Hollis F2 fins. The Hollis F2, they're basically the little brother of the big F1 that I tend to like using in this country. They're a solid sort of rubber construction, but they're much, much smaller, which makes them much lightweight. And how they've done it, if they've done it in a sort of two-layer design, that way you still have all that efficiency, but you don't have the big bulky weight of a larger fin. I like the Hollis. Another ones I like are the Tusa Solar fin. They're a nice, shorter, full blade fin, but they're not crazy bulky. It depends how much you want to spend, really. Mares do a very nice, the Extreme. That's an incredibly lightweight fin. The first time you pick it up, you'll be surprised at how light it is. They've got a clever hinge system on them, which feels kind of floppy when you first use it, but you don't have to shift. They're very, very efficient fins. I've only ever used them in the pool, but they're a very efficient fin, and yeah, they're perfect for travel because they're nice and lightweight. Scuba Gadgets asks, how about pullover dry gloves? Have you ever seen them work on the Antares system? Pullover dry gloves, I'm presuming you're talking about the gloves that work with the Antares glove, the system. I was playing with them the other day. Yeah, they're very, very efficient. Nice and simple, just to clip together. And then when you're ready to take them off, you just twist it and push, and that second ring comes off. They're nice and easy to install, especially if you've got a dry suit like the D7 or any of the waterproof dry suits that have the ISS, the silicone seal system. You just replace the existing ring and then pop in one of the Antares rings with your existing silicone seal. That way, even if the glove, you do tear the glove, you rip it on something, at least you're gonna stay dry. And then the glove just gets pinched in the second ring. You just slip that over your hands with a just warm glove, clip it together, it works. I used I think they were a Typhoon dry glove, which was just a dry glove with an integrated sort of insulating glove inside, and then just a latex standard cuff seal that you get on dry suits. That way I had my dry suit and then another latex cuff over the top of that, and they're very efficient. Nice warm hands. Yeah, they work very well. Luke Godsell says, I have a GoPro. Which accessories would you recommend as must-haves? So with GoPro have a lot of mounts out there. So what I tend to use, or what I find, is that a lot of people, they think, oh, okay, I'll go for a head mount. Only problem is with a head mount, it's great because you get the POV shot, but as you exhale, all the bubbles come up and right in front, and that just ruins your view. So what I tend to do is I use more of these kind of grips, just nice and simple. You also get a floaty grip, which is the yellow version. Your GoPro goes on there, your wrist strap goes over your wrist, and you just hold it. Because there's no viewfinder on the GoPro, so you can just point and shoot. You can also get different GoPole accessories. Pardon me. And they're very good for getting nice and close. Out in Egypt, when I used to guide, you'd see a few people trying to get close and close to the Titan triggerfish. And one of my students, I forget his name now, but he had one of these GoPoles, just an extendable pole. And you can just get nice and close and get a really good close-up shot without getting too close to the reef and damaging the reef, but you can still get nice and close to it. There's all sorts of other mounts that you can attach the GoPro to. They're a very, very efficient camera. I have a GoPro myself. I was using that out in the Caribbean. They're just great, top-notch dive cameras. They are tough as nails. Kelvin Packham says, I've got the SK7 compass, I presume, and notice there's now the SK8 out. What are the differences? Okay, so with the SK8, I've got one here. The module itself, basically everything is exactly the same except the card. This is the bit that turns. The SK7, I have an SK7 at home. Lovely compass. I've had that for years. They are tough as nails, oil filled, so they're not affected by pressure. What Suntory have done is they've changed the card, which is, yeah, as I said earlier, the bit that turns. They've just made it more efficient, and it works over a larger area of the globe. What you do find with a lot of compasses is you'll have like northern hemisphere and southern hemisphere. So some of them, they'll only work in the northern hemisphere of the globe. So they'll be great in the UK, but if you then go to sort of South America or you're going to Australia, they won't work properly because of the magnetic fields of the Earth. They're not quite the same. What Cintra have done is they've managed to make this the YESK 8 much more effective. So it covers for all of the northern hemisphere and a lot of the southern hemisphere as well. It's a very, very efficient compass. But it's exactly the same size, so you can take your SK7 module out of your boot or one of your CB inline gauges, the Shinto gauges. You can just take the SK7 out and replace it with the SK8. They're exactly the same. They will fit in the exact same box. So if yours ever dies, you drop your cylinder on it, you've got an SK7, all you need to do is just replace it with an SK8 and you'll have upgraded your compass. Great, great little compass. British Diver Tweet says, "Hi guys, long time listener, first time caller. Pony tank, should I sling it across my front or band it?" So with bailouts, I like to have a bailout clipped to my, normally on my left-hand side, more like a side mount cylinder. I like to clip it, yeah, over my shoulder and then down towards my left-hand kidney. I have dived it on one of the rebreathers. I was on the Poseidon Discovery and that was across my chest. It works, but I just find it's all quite in front of you. I prefer stuff off to one side. It's a lot easier to physically get it onto your chest because it's all sort of nice and close, but I just find your first stage is here, all the valves here, your second stage is here. It can just be a bit much. I like it sort of nice tucked in under my arm. It's out of the way as well. You're nice, you're much more streamlined. If I'm swimming over a reef or swimming through a confined area, I'd like to be as laterally compressed as possible. So I always like it tucked in on my left-hand side. If you're left-handed, you might prefer it on the right-hand side. But personally, I always like it stuck there just underneath my left armpit. Okay guys, they're all the questions that I've got for now. So I'm gonna start moving on to new products. So first of all, I will talk about the Shinto Eon Steel. It's a wonderful dive computer. This is good for sort of beginner up to really advanced divers, really, because in the future you're going to start getting upgrades that you can just download on Shinto's DM5. And very similar to your iPhone, you just plug it into the USB connector that's supplied with it, plug it into your laptop with DM5, and that'll just download updates. So out of the box, it has air algorithms, nitrox algorithms, and it also has a capacity for trimix algorithms. Fully featured, it's got a nice bright color screen. I love that screen. It's just nice and easy to see, color coded as well. So if everything's green and blue, you're happy. If it starts to go orange and red, then something wrong. So, and it's also tough as nails. The glass that they use is a special, really tough glass, and you can do whatever you want to it. It's nice and tough. It will scratch, but if you drop it on the dive boat, it's nice and tough as nails. It's also a nice, it's weighted quite nicely. Some dive computers, they can feel a bit plasticky and just feel a little bit flimsy to me, whereas this is just a nice solid weight. They've got a nice range of materials on here. It's nice and tough. They've put a lot of work and effort into this computer. They're a great wireless air integrated dive computer. I love it, nice, tough as nails as well. And you get so many freebies in the box. You get the rubber boot that goes over the top just to give it an added level of protection. You also get the bungee mount, so you can just simply unscrew these with little hex keys, add the bungee mount. So if you're a bit more techie, you prefer your bungee mounts, you can just use that, that's fine. So that's the Shinto Eon Steel. Another big change is from Scuba Pro. Scuba Pro have updated their Mark II and Mark 25 first stages. Now, I always used to use Scuba Pro Mark IIs when I was teaching. They're a nice sort of compact little little first stage. But what Scuba Pro have done is they've changed it from the Mark II to the Mark II Evo. And because this isn't an environmentally sealed regulator, or first stage, sorry, what they've done is they've coated each of the internal mechanism with a special coating, this blue coating. And that improves the cold water performance. It's improved the performance by about 30%. And that's to improve airflow, to reduce freezing, and to reduce free flows at colder temperatures. They've done the exact same thing on the Mark 25. Mark 25 basically looks exactly the same. All the features are there. It's still got the same number of low pressure and high pressure ports, except on the inside, the internals, they've been coated in this blue substance, and that improves the cold water performance, just makes it much more efficient. Top-notch set of regs, perfect for British diving. And they're in stock. You can buy them now from Simply Scuba. Fourth Element, on from their J2. Fourth Element are getting into the sort of expedition, so long-term diving. So what they've done is they're trying to make stuff that will last for an entire season without too much maintenance. What they've done is they've improved their Fourth Element Arctic undersuit. Now, the Arctic you will see all over British dive sites. I used to see them all the time when I was teaching in the UK. I've got them myself. They are a very, very efficient undersuit. They also do the Fourth Element Thermocline, which is the wetsuit undersuit. So it's just an undersuit that's designed to get wet and keep you warm. So what they've done with the Fourth Element Arctic Expedition is they've combined both of those technologies. So you've got both Fourth Element Arctic and Thermocline materials in this to make a really efficient hybrid. So along the top of the shoulders and the chest area here, they have the Thermocline material. So this is the material that's designed to get wet. It has a good sort of water repellent outer layer. So this is when you're walking around the dive site and you've got the top of your dry suit off, and if it's just raining or drizzling, your shoulders are going to get wet and your chest gets wet. That's perfect because this top section is designed to get wet, keep you nice and warm. So that's very, very clever. If we move down the old Arctic fabric, a lot of people found that after a few washes, when you used it quite a few times, what would happen is the surface would start to bubble a little bit. So Fourth Element have added this ceramic coating pattern, and that just stops the fabric from bubbling. So it just keeps it nice and fresh and sort of as new as long as possible. Another nice feature that I like on this undersuit is quite a few students, if I take them in with dry suits, they come out and they said, my wrist is completely wet. What they've done is they've put the thumb loop over their thumb, put their undersuit as they're putting their dry suit on, and they've left that thumb loop on, which of course breaks the dry suit seal around the wrist. So what Fourth Element have done is they've integrated it into the cuff with this elasticated loop. So as you put your undersuit into your dry suit, you just unhook it through your thumb and then it will retract back into the wrist. So that's a very, very nice feature. I like that. Other than that, it's just a very, very efficient undersuit. I like it. You can read my or watch my review on YouTube, and just top-notch undersuit. Fourth Element make very, very efficient exposure protection. On from that, we have Aqualung have brought out a new BCD. And it's very, very understated, but I actually love this BCD. It's the Pro HD. It's got a very smart, simple look, but again, just very, very understated. It's all the little features that I really like about this BCD. The first thing is the material that they've used, which is a special Resistec material. And what this does is it resists all the color fading. So often you look around dive sites, especially in sort of sunnier countries, and they start to go brown and they start to go gray and they look old. This Resistec material is designed to prevent discoloration. So it will stay looking sort of nice and bright and black for much, much longer. All of the valves are sort of standard Aqualung, nice low profile, same low pressure inflator as usual. But another nice new feature that I like about this, most people or most BCDs nowadays, they're starting to come with these little pockets where you can just tuck your octo hose in. Great, very efficient. You don't need any octo clips that can break All you do is you just crimp the hose and push that in there. On the other side, they've also got an octo sort of section if you have your octo on your left-hand side. They've also made it nice and large for your gauges. So to save your high-pressure hose draping on the outside of the BCD, what you do is you can tuck your gauges in underneath the pocket and have your gauges poking out through there. Now, I think that's an ingenious feature. It just keeps your hose routing nice and tidy and just keeps your gauges exactly where you want. Nice sort of stainless steel D-rings right next to it, so you can attach a D-ring if you want. I like that feature. Another one is the pockets. Most pockets, they just have one zipper, one at the front or at the back. This one has two, so you can, depending on how flexible you are, open it from the back or open it from the front. Little touches like that I just think are fantastic. That's a great little BCD, and it's not expensive. If you're looking for a new BCD, it's nice and lightweight. There's not much to it. It is a fully rigid back plate, so it takes a lot of the weight of the cylinder off your back, just keeps it on your shoulders. But yeah, have a look at that. Nice BCD. On from that, the first bit is actually more a bit of a news. This is Aeris. Aeris and Oceanic, and Hollis also. They're owned by American Underwater Products, AUP. They're all under the same umbrella. And what they're doing at the moment is a few of their key products, the Aeris products, they're actually rebranding them as Oceanic. So if it was Aeris, it's going to be changing over to Oceanic. The design hasn't changed, it's purely cosmetic. Wherever it has Aeris written on it, now it's going to have Oceanic written on it. Everything else is exactly the same, all the colours are the same, all of the accessories are the same. It's just a rebranding. They still work just as well as they did before. Another thing that's affected by this is the Aeris A300 computer. That was very, very popular. We couldn't keep stock of them because as soon as we got them in, we sold them like wildfire. They were very, very popular. That has been rebranded as the Oceanic VTX. It's not the Oceanic A300, it's the Oceanic VTX. A very nice bright color display, and we also sell it with the wireless air integration. Nice little, it's a little bit bigger than a watch style. Nice dive computer. Another product which we should have any day now is the Apex Lifeline. So these are a new set of reels. And I really, really like these. You see a lot of just plastic spools, and you do get more and more metal ones nowadays. They are nice, but these Apex ones, they've really, all the little features just make them very, very nice and easy to use. The first feature, the spools themselves, they're made out of anodized aluminium, which makes it nice and lightweight, slightly negatively buoyant, so they will sink a little bit. But it's a nice corrosion-free but lightweight material. They've also color-coded them, which I think is the best feature. They come in three different sizes. They come in 15-meter long line, they come in a 30-meter and a 45-meter line, and they're all color-coded. So if you're using multiple reels, you'll be able to identify which are which just by looking at them, which is really, really good. The spools themselves, a lot of them are just parallel. These ones are actually tapered, so they actually flare out, which makes just winding up a lot easier. It also allows for additional line and scruffy reeling in. I find that when I'm reeling in my SMB, I tend to do it quite scruffy. I'm not really paying attention. So these, they have added area and a nice big catchment area just to wind that line on. Very, very nice. On the outside, they've actually given a nice grip on the outside, so you can actually hold on to it, keep it in position, and the internal ring where you put your finger through is a little bit larger diameter than most normal ones. So that means that you can use them with gloves. Makes it much, much more efficient and easy to use in the UK. The lines itself is a bit geeky, but the lines I find are very, very efficient. They're two different lines. The main line is bright orange, so it's easier to see in poor visibility or low light conditions. Nice bright orange, but the line itself is made by a company that do climbing ropes, which means it's nice and tough and it's going to be used to the sort of wear and tear and being around water. This bright orange main line is connected by a brass swivel to the bright yellow leader line, which is what you'll attach to your SMB or attach to a prominent feature if you're laying a guideline. And this just prevents any kind of twisting in the line. The leader line, the yellow one, again, is a much tougher material. This is made by a different company. They make a lot of sort of ropes and lines for commercial fishing and everything up to bulletproof armor for military vehicles. So this is really, really nice, tough line. So if you are attaching it to a piece of a wreck, you'll be sort of rest assured that it will sort of stay attached. It's not gonna shear on sharper material. Yeah, they're very, very nice. I like them. Another new camera, again from Intiva, is their Edge X. You can kind of see it in the shiny box here. This is their another sort of underwater action camera. This one has built-in Wi-Fi, which makes it just sort of more efficient nowadays. Everything's coming with Wi-Fi so that you can wirelessly transfer your images to and from your smart device. And this is water rated down to 60 meters straight out of the box. Just very, very nice, efficient computer. It's just nice and tidy, and lots of, intuitive buttons. A lot of things there, they're shearing down how many buttons they got. They've only got like one or two buttons. There's only so much you can do with one or two buttons. This one has six. So you have your on button, your Wi-Fi button, and your shutter, and then you have select and up down buttons. Just makes it very, very easy to use and a bit more user friendly. So yeah, you can go through those settings. It also has a nice viewfinder on the back, which some action pack cameras don't nowadays. You just have to line your shots up based on sort of what you think you're looking at. This one, you can actually line your shots up and actually take the pictures. Got a few more questions now. Aether Productions wants to know, I'm looking to change my gauges. Is the Oceanic Swivel Navcon Triple as clear as it appears in the picture, and would you recommend it? Yeah, I love Oceanic gauges. They're nice and clear, and they're color-coded as well. So nice, big, obvious digits, and a nice, easy-to-see needle. These are also photofluorescent, so if you shine your dive torch on it, it'll glow for a certain period. The Navcon, I love. It will be covered by Oceanic's lifetime warranty, everything except the hose. So if something goes wrong, if it floods for whatever reason, Oceanic will look at it, and they will, as long as you get it serviced once a year by a Oceanic center, they will sort of honor that warranty. Oceanic are very good at after sales with their equipment. There's your pressure gauge, again, color-coded, and you also have a temperature gauge there, which is quite nice. I always sort of check what the water temperature is when I jump in and what it is down at the bottom. Nice big compass as well. It's nice and compact, I find. A lot of triple gauges, they're all in line, which makes them sort of this long, which can be a bit much if you're strapping it to your chest. You've got these gauges that lead all the way up there, and you've got to turn it over and kind of look at it all. This one, they've done it a very, very clever way. You've got your pressure, so you know exactly how much air you got left, and then you turn it over, you've got your depth and your compass. Now, this is a very sort of logical way of putting it around, because if you're doing navigation, you're going to be looking at the compass, and you also want to make sure that you're maintaining your depth. That way you're not adjusting your position in the water. Lovely set of gauges, I like it. Nice strong rubber hose, and they'll fit on any set of rigs. Yeah, I like them. Scuba Gadget, our suggestion. Not sure if you do Atomic products, but we are testing the Atomic Venom mask and find it to be the most comfortable mask ever. It's a gummy bear silicone skirt. We do sell Atomic equipment. I have Venom here. Atomic make very, very nice equipment. They use top-notch materials, and they don't skimp on anything. They're well up there as one of the top brands as far as their quality go. Another thing with Atomic is their glass. They use special glass, not just standard tempered glass. What they actually do is they use a special glass that has much fewer impurities. So a lot of glass, when you look at it sort of side on, you can get that kind of green sort of turquoisey tint. If you do that with Atomic mask, it's crystal clear. because they removed all of those impurities, and that way what you're seeing underwater is exactly what it looks like. So very, very nice masks. I like them. Atomic, top brands. Yeah, I like them very much. Tim Harrison asks, I'm thinking about upgrading from open circuit to something like the Hollis Explorer. Can you tell me a bit more about it and its benefits? Yeah, I was diving with Matt Robinson from Hollis on the Hollis Explorer. It's a top-notch unit. I love it. It's nice and compact. The best bit I love about it is the fact that a normal 12-litre cylinder, 232 bar, I can make that last for about an hour-long dive, ballpark. The Explorer rebreather uses a 5-litre cylinder, so it's more than half the size, and I can make that last for a good sort of 2, maybe 3 hours. So it's very, very efficient. It's also a very different way of diving. When you're using open circuit, you're used to, when you breathe in, you change your buoyancy, and when you breathe out, you start to sink back down, controlling your buoyancy with your lung volume. With the Explorer rebreather, it has counter lungs, like most rebreathers. So no matter how you breathe, your buoyancy stays perfect. So this is great for photographers. If you're looking to line up a shot on the rebreather, it's nice and easy. You can just breathe naturally. If you want to go up or go down, you literally just swim up or swim down. It's a very, very intuitive way of diving. It's also very good because it doesn't blow any bubbles. The first thing that you notice is how close you can get to fish. Fish hate our bubbles. When we're on open circuit, we are noisy, weird, annoying creatures to them. On the rebreather, there are no bubbles that come around your face. The Explorer is a semi-closed rebreather, which means that it only uses a single cylinder of diluent, which means that as it adds air to the circuit, it adds volume as well, so it does need to purge a little bit, but it's only the odd bubble here and there. So as you're swimming along, the only bubbles that do come out are also on your back. So you can get really, really nice to the wildlife, nice and close to the wildlife. It's a super unit, and it's very, very intuitive. The computer is integrated, and that just sits on your wrist, and it's only got two buttons, and everything, again, is color-coded. So it's just nice and easy to use, and just very, very efficient. I love it to bits. I'd be happy diving in the UK. I was diving in the UK with one. That's another thing that a lot of the write-ups don't mention is how much warmer you are. Because on open circuit, you are breathing just compressed air, and then you breathe that in, that warms up inside your chest, and when you breathe out, you exhale, and it just goes off into the atmosphere. On a rebreather, it recirculates that air. That way, you're always breathing in warm air, and that just made it that much more warmer when you're diving. So as far as a sort of thermal point of view, it's just a really nice way of diving. It's also very quiet. You did notice when open circuit divers started to cross your path, you can hear them from a mile off. Rebreathers were nice and quiet. I love the Explorer. A lot of people, they say, oh, but it's crazy expensive and all this kind of stuff. And actually, no, when you start adding it up, after you've bought the unit, it's not that expensive to run. You have a 5-litre cylinder, which you fill with up to 40% nitrox. So that's about a fiver, depending on which dive site you go to. And then the only other thing that you need to use is a scrubber, which you change every few hours. And when you boil that down, that only costs a few quid. Each time you change the canister. So it's really not that expensive to maintain. It is a really good unit. I like the Explorer. We have them in stock here. If anyone ever wants to sort of pop over and have a chat with me, have a look at the unit, that's fine. That's what I'm here for. And they're not a heavy unit neither. I'd be happy sort of taking that abroad. You can get it in two different setups. You can get it with the Explorer BCD, which is a standard jacket style with integrated weights, which is very nice and comfortable. Or you can get it with a backplate and wing, which is a bit more technical. Comes with Hollis's solo harness and a 45-litre wing. It's just a very, very nice rebreather. Ross Milne asks, what slippers boots would you recommend to be used with the Aqualung slingshot fin for warmer water diving? Depending on how warm you want to go, if you're after something as small as possible, you're looking at something like the Tusa dive slipper, which is a very nice hard-soled shoe. No zips, no Velcro. It's just a very, very nice low profile. But this is really sort of in the tropics when it's a very, very nice warm water diving. Personally, I'd go for something more like a Mares Classic NG boot, which is a, I tend to find they're the most comfortable. They're the ones that I use. They have a flexible sole, which makes them a bit more comfortable. I'm not a huge fan of the hard sole to the trainer type boots, but if you prefer harder sole, go for that. They also do a hard sole version, and they're just 5mm of neoprene, so you can use them abroad. I tend to dive with them in Egypt, or in the summertime in the UK, you can get away with just a 5mm boot. Sean Johnson again says, hey Mark, I do have another for you. I'm looking to get a lightweight backup torch. I'm thinking the Scuba Pro Nova 230. Would you say that's a good shout? Yeah, I do like the Scuba Pro Nova. Nice, lightweight design, nice body, very simple sort of twist on, twist off. It also comes with a, an extendable lanyard. So it's just a nice, sort of good lightweight torch. Scuba Pro have also brought out their Nova 700 series, which is a slight upgrade from the 230. You can get the standard Nova 700, which takes three C batteries. Nice sort of, I think it's a 10-hour burn time. So very, very efficient torch, and it's nice and bright, 700 lumens. It also has a slightly smaller brother, the 700R, which can take their rechargeable Tenergy batteries. Guru Pro Nova torches, they are nice and tough. Again, I see these all over dive sites. Just nice, strong, tough, and I've never seen or heard of an issue from the Scuba Pro torches. Dylan Rendell asks, hey, looking to get a new torch, back on torches. No idea how many lumens mine is, as it's secondhand. So how many lumens is a good range for UK diving? Depending on what you're doing, I start to look around the sort of 600-700 lumens. If you're starting getting into sort of videos, you need to go up in the sort of 1,500 to 2,000. That way you get a nice bright light for your videos, and it's quite good to set up your dive camera if you've got a good sort of video light and then a flash. That's always good. My dive torch, I use a Hollis LED. Just very nice, tough, robust torch. They recently upgraded it to have a nice simple push button activation. I've had that for a couple years now, my old version. Tough as nails. My one's looking a bit worse for wear, but it's still going strong, never flooded. Really, really nice torch. Very, very bright light. About 600 lumens, 700 lumens are kind of what you need to aim for a British dive torch, depending on where you're diving really. And what kind of light you want to be producing. Mr. Smoey asks, any thoughts on cylinder covers? Cylinders, yeah. In the UK, we tend to use a lot of steel cylinders. So they come coated in enamel paint. They're usually white or yellow with the black and white shoulders. And this is very, very important to keep safe, because as soon as that paint chips a little bit, the water gets underneath the paint and it starts to rust. And you'll only find out when you take it in for testing. You can start to see it as a sort of bubbling underneath the paint, but the real thing is to try and keep it nice and dry, keep it out. A lot of people, they try and keep it in their garage, just tucked away in a corner or in a garden shed. You really need to make sure that it's in a nice sort of dry area. And make sure that you dry it after each dive. Another issue is around the boots. A lot of people think, oh, okay, I'll just keep it in the boot. But boots can be just as bad, because what they can do is they can actually trap water on the inside and hold it against the paint. And because they're sort of nice and snug on the boot, they can sort of wear that enamel down. And that's where you can start to see rust starting to occur. So it's good after every dive just to knock that boot off with a, we tend to use a rubber hammer just to slowly knock it off and dry off the bottom of the cylinder. Make sure it's nice and dry before you're storing it away for long periods. What I tend to use is a simple tank mesh. These come in different sizes depending on what size cylinder you use. This is for a 12 litre or a 15. Very, very simple, very effective. You just slip it over. You can, depending on your boot, sometimes you can slip this underneath the boot. That way you've got this sort of seamless coverage. And then if it's a little bit too long, you can either cut it to the right size or you can just kind of fold it over. And what this does is when you're at the dive site, I always tend to lay my scuba cylinder down, or my scuba unit down on the cylinder even. And if that's down on concrete, that will start to rub on the enamel. So what this does, just protects your cylinder. It's also good because it adds an extra layer of grip for your cam bands on your BCD. So with this, as you wrap it on and you clamp it down, that's adding an extra layer of grip. Tank mesh, it's nice and cheap. It's not very expensive, and they come in nice bright colors and all sorts of different colors as well. So if you want to make sure that you've got your cylinder and not your partner's or your buddies, you can have different colors so you can personalize it as much as you like. Cool, cool. Right, guys, and that's all the questions I've got. And that's it, really, guys. Thanks for watching and safe diving. Take care. Bye-bye.